Now, just take your seats again together. We want to welcome Mr. and Mrs. McDowell to your service this evening. We thank God's servant for singing, and the Reverend McDowell is going to come in just a moment here and give his testimony. They've been a tremendous encouragement to us here in the work of God in Coleraine over the years, helping out with different services, and also since her brother retired from his ministry in Limavady. I think it was the first Lord's Day of the year that God's servant spoke here in her church, and I was down that morning in Crossgar and was running late, got a speeding ticket on the way down. Didn't know that until I got back home, and there's a letter through the door, so got to go to a free driver's awareness training course on Friday. So your pastor's got a criminal record. He was caught speeding. And that Sunday, my wife said, "Mr. McDowell was brilliant this morning." Now, I've preached in this church for 5 years, twice on a Sunday, and the wife gets the CDs of Tuesday nights as well. So that's about 3 sermons a week she gets from me, about 150 a year. Multiply that by 5, I'm not sure what that is, 750. And she's never once told me that I've been brilliant. Mr. McDowell speaks once, and she says he was brilliant. So we've got a real blessing tonight in store. God bless you, sir, and let's hear your testimony. And you're very welcome to Coleraine again.
Thank you. He didn't worry, for the wife said that about me in Limavady. So you get used to what you hear. And he is brilliant. Okay. I was just thinking about the wife there, finding it difficult to sing something and say something. I remember Sandra, when I first met her, she could hardly say a thing. Because I have a photograph of myself. Boy, I had a whole head of hair. And the big long locks away down here. And a big moustache went down there. And if I'd have been a woman, I'd have fallen in love with myself. So she could hardly say a thing. But boy, has she made up for it since I married her. I can't get her stopped now. Anyway, good to see some of my friends here tonight. And I want to read a wee text of scripture. I always read it when I'm giving a word of testimony, and it's Psalm 34, and it's the verse 6. And it says this: "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, 3 things in this text, I base my testimony on it. And one of them is poverty. This poor man. David called himself a poor man. And I can, in all honesty, say that about myself in many respects. I was born in 1948. And ladies, I'm still 21. I don't know how that happens, but there you are. I'm born and brought up in the Lower Shankill, in a place called Brown Square. And it was a real hot loyalist place, just on the verge of a Catholic place, but boy, we were red hot broads. And I can remember as a nipper, they had a big arch in Brown Square Arch, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people always came to that each night. And they played music, and they danced in the street, and I can remember being brought up in those circumstances. Now, my father had his own business. I don't remember much about it, but he decided to go across to London. So he up sticks himself, sold his business, left the family and went to London. And sadly, it was the story of the prodigal in many respects. He went away and and wasted his substance, as the Bible says, in riotous living. But he came back and tried to rebuild his business. He obviously had to rebuild it for what he had sold to someone else. And I can remember as a young fella helping him out in his business. I don't know whether he had designs for me, if he had built it up again, that I would carry it on. But I can remember helping him in his business. But somehow or other, I got into to gambling. I can't remember exactly how, but I can remember at school, when I went to secondary school, and this time it was in another part of Belfast, north Belfast, or more to the north. It was up on Tennant Street, and there was a school called Eden Derry Secondary. And I can remember in our religious instruction class, for that's what they called it, I can remember the teacher coming and sitting at my desk, and him and I had the paper opened at the racing page, and we were talking about the horses. And I can remember sometimes winning, but most times not. I had friends, quite a good group of friends, on the Shankill Road. That's where I plied my wares, so to speak. And we always helped each other out. And if somebody didn't get anything that day at the horses, well, then the others would pull them out. And my life was really taken up with gambling. When I left school, I got into drinking. Never drank big time, but there was a stage in my life when I drank seven nights. And I'm saying seven nights, for even at that time, there were places where you could get drink on a Sunday evening. But wasn't heavy. A friend of mine owned his own shop on the Shankill Road, and when I finished my work during the day, I would go to Richie's place, and Richie had been working during the day, but he did all his deliveries at night, and him and I did the deliveries, and we would go after the deliveries, we would go to the pub, we would have some drink, and him and I travelled about a bit. And we used to go down to the race courses in Southern Ireland. I can remember a night in Dublin staying in the Salvation Army. We were down at a race course. I can remember another night when we slept in his van outside a race course in the south of Ireland. This was my life. Gambling, drinking, going to the Greyhound races in the evenings. I was talking to a boy, and your ministers mentioned about the chaplaincy in McGilligan, and I was talking to a boy not so very long ago in McGilligan, and he was up from the Shankill area, and I was telling him about two of the fellas I knew and ran about with, John and Bobby Thompson. And he was saying that he knew them, he knows them. And I says, well, I knocked about with them. And there's a budding preacher coming up. There he is. Going to take over from me. Maybe he says, I can babble just as well as that man's babbling in the pulpit. But there you are. He's not going to do you any harm. It's not yours, is it? So, there you are. But anyway, I remember saying to the fella in the prison that I knew these two. And boy, he was amazed at it. And he was telling me that those two men, they were into training greyhounds and racing greyhounds. And he says the two of them were dead. And he was astounded and amazed that I knew them. And he never came back to a service. I think he was afraid. He was afraid to come back because I told him I'd known those boys and knocked about with them. I remember Bobby. He used to work for Eason's. They were newspaper distributors. And I remember one night coming out of the pub, and we went with Bobby, and Bobby had to go and lift newspapers at the airport and then deliver them all around the country. He had drink on him, and we had drink on us, and he went hurtling through the country with those newspapers. And it's a mercy. It's a mercy that nothing happened to us, that God spared us, certainly spared myself. That was my life. But I gambled to an extent that had absolutely nothing, hardly anything to wear, hardly any decent clothes to wear. And that's what I meant when I said from the text, the person who wrote the psalm said he was a poor man. He was a poor man. And not only was I poor in that way, but I was poor in another way, because I had a feeling that nobody really cared. Even though I had friends, you know, when the chips were down, as they say, nobody really, really cared. And there was an emptiness within my heart. I can remember going into work, and I worked just between the Falls Road and the Shankill Road in Belfast, on the very edge of the Falls Road. And it was a big factory type of place with all different works in it. And I remember going into work that lovely, lovely, lovely June morning. It was the 5th of June, 1967. Not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful morning. But I was miserable. I really was miserable. I'd disillusioned. The gambling had cut away back, and I still gambled at the weekend and drank at the weekends. But there was just this emptiness. And that's what David talks about there. He says, this poor man cried. And there was this emptiness in my heart. And I went into work that Monday morning, 5th of June, 1967. I went into work, and there was this lady in work who I knew was a Christian. Didn't know much about Christianity. There were some boys in work that worked with me at times, and they witnessed to me. They spoke to me about being saved. I remember my father taking me to very, very large open-air meetings in Belfast, place that they call Customs House Square. They still have it, but they've discos and stuff in it now. But in those days, there were massive open-air meetings. And I can remember on a Sunday afternoon, my father would have taken some of us for a walk. He would have taken us to the open-air meeting, and then we went for a long walk afterwards. I knew something. I remember as a nipper, I'm not going to say as a wee boy, Sandra, because I still am a wee boy now, but I remember as a nipper going to children's meetings. And this is an encouragement for anybody that works amongst the boys and girls. I heard the gospel. Now, I didn't know a lot about it, but it was getting in. It was getting in that heavy song tonight. That was one of the ones we would have sung. It was a little Elam church, in fact, in Brown Square, down in Melbourne Street. Billy, I don't know if you remember down Melbourne Street, off Townsend Street. That's the wee church was down there that I went to. Didn't know a lot about being saved, but I knew there were Christians. And this lady in work, she's a lovely lady, and I remember going and saying to Chrissy, that was her name, I'd like to see you about something. I'd like to talk to you. So she came to me. I worked in the stores with two other boys, two great fellows. One of them was saved, went to Australia. The other one was Roman Catholic, is now dead. But two great fellows I worked with. And Chrissy came down to me about 10:30, time you got a tea break, and asked me what I wanted. And folks, the words just come out of me. I would love to be saved. I was telling you about a fella that I worked along with in the Shankill Road. He had his own business, and I helped him. His father died, Someone had approached him about a year or so after his father died and said, you can get in touch with your father. So Richie, that was his name, and myself went down to Dublin Road in Belfast. That's where the Ulster Hall is. Used to see all the Paisleyites going into the Ulster Hall the time they moved out of Ravenhill into the Ulster Hall. And we went down to this Spiritists meetings. I remember going to a wee house somewhere up the Shankill to this Spiritist meeting in a house, and the boy who was in touch supposedly started singing in a high-pitched voice in a darkened room when only the fire was lit. There was somebody upstairs who was ill and was moaning, and those folks were able to tell me things that happened and that were going to happen. And that's what I was involved in. There were people praying for me. And when I said to that wee woman in work, Chrissy, I said, would love to be saved. Chrissy said, can you wait till my husband comes? For he came, he worked in the centre of Belfast. He would have come right up the Falls Road into Northumberland Street, into the big place where we worked every night, and picked her up at 5:30. Went out to Glengormley, Moss Road in Glengormley, where they still live to this very day. And she said, will you wait till my husband comes? And 5:30, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people worked in that place. Chris and I went out, and I was standing with her, and all these people are passing, and I knew a lot of them, and they knew me, and they knew the sort of fella that I was. They knew the sort of life that I was living. And boy, was I embarrassed, and there was a great struggle in my heart going on, and I was tempted, very strongly tempted, to go home, and something, or someone, I should say, kept me there. And of all the nights that her husband was late, he was late that night. He had come umpteen nights before, dead on 5:30, and umpteen nights afterwards, dead on 5:30. But that night, it was about 6:10 when he actually drove in to the area. I get into the passenger seat at the front of the car. Chris sat in the back. Adam was her husband's name. And Chris said to Adam, Wesley wants to get saved. And Adam had his Bible in the car. And folks, he read to me three very simple verses. He said, Wesley, your problem is your sin. He read to me from the book of Romans. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, you're in that all. He didn't really need to tell me. I knew what I was up to. I knew what I had done. I knew the life I was living. But he was like a doctor. You know you're sick, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you. And that's what Adam was doing. And he was quite straight with me. He says, it's your sin that has separated you from God. If you let your sin have its way in your life, you'll die without the Lord. You'll be in hell. He was quite straight with me. He showed me another verse, beautiful verse, a lovely verse. I preached on it in the prison this morning. For God so loved the world. And he says, Wesley, stick your name in there. For God so loved Wesley McDowell that he gave his only begotten son, that if Wesley McDowell would believe in him, he wouldn't perish, he wouldn't go to hell, but he would have everlasting life. He'd be saved and go to heaven. And folks, I realized that night, sitting in the car, I think it was about 4 or 5 years before that was the last time I was in church, and it was at my brother's wedding. And it was in a Church of Ireland, and I didn't know whether to stand up, sit down, turn around, kneel, or whatever. But that's the last time I had been in church. Knew very little, but I knew that night
that God loved me. He loved me. I didn't even love myself. I knew the sort of person I was, but God loved me. He showed me another verse, Book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, Wesley, your sin has separated you from God. Your sin is making you feel the way you feel. In spite of that, God loves you. Christ died for you. He's willing, ready, and waiting to save you, but you must ask him. And that night, folks, I knew nothing, absolutely nothing, about praying. I had tried to pray to spirits from the spiritist meetings, but I knew nothing about praying. And I can remember sitting in the front seat of the car simply saying something like this, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, that I've sinned against you. Will you forgive me and make me a Christian? It happened. Just as I prayed that, it was just like a burden lifting off me. And I knew, folks, I knew Adam and Chris, they ran me down to the City Hall in Belfast. At that time, I lived in East Belfast. Still remained a blue Linfield supporter in the middle of all the Glenturran supporters in East Belfast. But I had to get the bus home. Had a friend who used to work with us, and Campbell was his name, and he went to the WAC Bible Training College in Glasgow eventually, but he worked with us, and him and I would have walked home at times. He was one of the ones that witnessed. He had gone to somewhere else. I remember going that night. Campbell wasn't at home, his folks were, and his brother was in the house, and I remember telling his brother that I'd get saved, and he was delighted. And he took his pen and he wrote these words in my hand. I can remember this as clear as day. Joy, J-O-Y. And he said, Wesley, if you want to have a good Christian life, a happy Christian life, remember that word. Put Jesus first. That's the J. Put others next. That's the O. Put yourself last. That's the Y. It hasn't always been done, but I can remember going after I'd got saved to all my mates up round the shankle and telling them I'd become a Christian. A lot of the boys said, great, it's not my type of life, but all the best. And others says, you'll be back with us in a fortnight. Remember walking up the shankle one day, a mate and myself, a boy called Jimmy Manson, we were heading, I think, to the bookies. It was a summer's night, and this boy came over across the road in the shankle and just said, would you like to know how to be saved? We said no, we couldn't keep it, with no intentions of trying, but that's what we said. And some of those boys that I went to afterwards, they thought that would be the same with me. You'll be back with us in a fortnight. I wonder how many fortnights there are from the 5th of June 1967 to now. The Lord has kept me, folks. The Lord has kept me. I went to Martyrs Memorial Church. I was at a wee mission hall for about a year, but I went to the Martyrs Memorial from 1968 onwards. I got involved with the young people and what they called the Martyrs Memorial Male Witness. There was a group, a dozen or so men of us, and we went round all our churches and we did preaching and held missions. One night we went to Lima Valley and we got stuck there, and it was about three or four o'clock in the morning when somebody came from Belfast to lift us, the old police tender, Brother McIntyre, you're probably the oldest one here. I don't know if you are or not. He's not going to thank me for that, so you're not. But they used to have old grey police tenders, and the RUC used them, and we got the old ones. There used to be five or six of them at the Martyrs Memorial when it opened, and we used them for children's work, but we used them for the male witness. We went round the country. There was men that sang and men that preached, and we had our opportunity of preaching and testifying. It was tremendous, tremendous to get round and all our churches and tell about the Lord. The Lord led me to the Isle of Man, and in 1973, and I just up sticks and I says, I'm going there to work, and didn't really consult anybody, didn't even look for people to support. I went out there and I worked for a year. I came back and I went into Bible College. It was a theological hall, it was known then, 1974 to 78. I was placed for a couple of years in our church in Mulvan. We lived amongst boys, some of them were very strong Republicans. I can remember one night, Republicans running up the path, going to come in to the house and do something. But the next door neighbour stopped them. They were very friendly with us. They were Roman Catholic folks from Strabane, but they stopped them. And I worked there for 2.5 years. The door opened in Lima Valley. It was there up until last year, from 1979. Got involved with the prison ministry. It's been over 30 years. There's lots of boys have got out in the Good Friday Agreement, but I'm still in. I'm still in with Gilligan. I don't know when I'll be released, Roger, but it's my joy, and just mentioning this to get you to pray for it, but it's my joy to be there every Sunday morning. And at the minute, I'm having between 30 and 40 men out at the services every Sunday morning. Pray for that work, and of course, I'll go in during the week as well. But the Lord saved me. But no one else had an ear, or at least I thought no one else had an ear. The Lord had an interest in me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Folks, there's much more I could say tonight, but I just want to leave it with you with this little text. Just as the Lord had an interest in me, a vile, wicked sinner, so the Lord has an interest in you. He's not just somebody away up there and standing afar off and with no interest. You're not just a name or a statistic or a number to him. He knows you. I am poor and needy, David said in one of his Psalms. Yet the Lord thinketh on me. God loves you. Christ died for you. And just as Adam said to me that day in the car, he's waiting. He's ready. He's willing to save you. But you must ask him. And I did. Will you? This poor man cried.